Hey, Mighty Warrior. Whenever I travel across the country speaking and teaching at men's conferences, I'm often asked, Joe, what do you do for a living? And I usually respond by saying, I simply help Christian men win. I tell them that I provide them with a proven five-step plan that's guaranteed to help any Christian man succeed in the areas that matter most to him as a man, like loving God, being the hero of his home, being a champion at work, protecting and providing for his family, and leaving a legacy of faith for his children and his grandchildren. And I tell them that the men who come through our organization walk away better equipped and more confident to win in the battles that they fight every day as men. Now you can imagine the response I usually get is, what is that proven five-step plan? And I tell them we provide a free training on our website. All they have to do is go to rmcfree.com to gain access to it. That's it. So if you like to find out the five critical things that every Christian man needs to succeed, guaranteed, then just go over to rmcfree.com to get the training. That's rmcfree.com. In my book, Are You the Man? 201 Lessons I Wish My Dad Would Have Taught Me, on page 17 I write, you can avoid most of life's obstacles if you choose to be who you are instead of what you feel. And my guest this week, Johnny Cavazos, would totally agree with that. Dr. Cavazos is an emergency room physician and the author of Brave the Wave, Discover and Fully Realize Your Authentic Self. So if you've ever struggled and wondered if you're good enough or if you measure up as a husband, father, or even as a Christian, then today's show is going to help you take the first step into freedom and authentic manhood. Real Men Connect is next.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men, and we do it God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created you to be. Each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. And today we have with us Johnny Cavazos, and he is a practicing emergency room physician with over 30 years of experience. Johnny is also the author of the book Brave the Wave, Discover and Fully Realize Your Authentic Self. And because of a series of failures in his life, Johnny landed in a world of stress, anxiety, and frustration. And this leads him to what he called a decade of discovery. And on his 10-year journey of spiritual discovery, enlightenment, and clarity, Johnny now has dedicated his life to helping men live their authentic life. Not just men, I guess, women too as well. And he lives in Houston, Texas with his wife, Eliza, and his children, Rachel, Troy, and Claire. And we invited Johnny on the show today to talk to us about not only his life, but his book and some of those stumbles that he mentioned, that I mentioned in the introduction, as well as some of those failures. And that's led him to discovering and fully realizing his authentic self. So with that being said, help me, Warrior Nation, in welcoming my guest, Johnny Cavazos, to the Real Men Podcast. Welcome, Johnny. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you, Dr. Joe. I really appreciate you having me on today. I've been really excited about this.
And Johnny, since I'm not calling you Dr. Cavazos, you're not going to be calling me Dr. Joe today. You can be calling me Joe on this show. Man, I am so happy to have you here because this topic about our authentic self, I don't know if you do much when it comes to men's ministries, but I travel quite a bit across the country speaking at men's conferences, at churches and men's gatherings. And that's kind of a buzzword that is used, authentic. Authentic, wherever you go, you got to be an authentic man. Authenticity, we're looking for authentic men. And so I was intrigued when Lauren told me about your book, about Brave the Wave and about what you do. And I said, wow, we got to have this guy on the show. This is going to be great. So, but before we get into that, Johnny, as you know, you told me before we even came on the air that you're a longtime listener to the show, which I am happy and thankful for doing that. One of the things, you know, we always do, we ask men their favorite Bible verse before that gives them inspiration in the Word of God in this season in their life, or it could be even a life verse. So what's yours, man?
Mine is, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And that's 1 Timothy 1:7. And the reason right now that I've focused on that is because I believe, Dr. Joe, that as we're moving through this, the spirit is where the action is. That's where the action is. I mean, Jesus even said, you know, the spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. And I started thinking about it, you know, as we go about our lives, you know, everybody you see walking around you is comprised of living cells. Humans all have, you know, heart cells are alive, kidney cells, skin cells alive. All of us, we're surrounded by, you know, physical life, but not everybody's walking around with their spirit turned on. And I listening to some of the podcasts, you know, I try to find a pattern. And what I'm noticing, you hear words in some of your guests, it's very interesting, but they say things like, "This, my spirit was turned on," or I reached a breakthrough. And those kind of things are intriguing to me. How does that happen? How do people's lives change? And there's some consistent patterns. You can learn a lot just by listening to your podcasts. And there's a lot of power there. And I feel like if we focus on that and focus on the spirit, and like you're throwing out nets trying to grab men, and most fish want to, you know, swim out of the net. They're not trying to swim into it. And so that idea, then the idea of being born again, that's another idea, you know, when Jesus talks about that, you know, truly, truly, he says, you know, you can't, you know, enter into the kingdom until you're born again. And those kind of ideas are always intriguing to me. What does that mean, being born again? Pastor John Piper really explained it really well when he said, what happens in the new birth is not the improvement of your old human nature, but the creation of a new human nature, a nature that is really you, hence authentic.
You know, you're kind of getting a little bit ahead of me, Johnny, but that's okay. That is great, because we're going to go there, and I'm going to probably revisit that again so you can touch even more on it. But I liked your Bible verse about that God did not give us a spirit of fear. Because you've been listening to the podcast, another underlining message or tone you hear from men before they had that transformation, like you said, that became that new creature, is the spirit of fear. And I see a lot of men, from coaching them and mentoring them and discipling them, that was holding us back, and usually at the root of everything is fear. Is that the root of addiction? Is that the root of anger? Is that the root of control, having a controlling spirit? Is that we are afraid? So I think that's a great memory verse to be anchored in, because we need to be constantly reminded that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, Johnny, you got a little bit ahead of me on talking about authenticity and being an authentic man, but I think it's great, and we're going to come back and revisit that. But you know from listening to our show, man, we always like looking at the man himself and giving our listeners a good picture of who they're dealing with. Because, yes, okay, you're a doctor, and you know this, and then we get caught up in so many titles and positions, but we fail to realize that this person is still a man. You didn't come out of your mother's womb practicing medicine. You were a kid. So I will always like our guests to share a little bit about their backstory. And I want to know a little bit about your story. What was it like for little Johnny growing up as a kid?
The thing that, coming back from, and I like to listen to the backgrounds also, but what I see a pattern, and it was very similar with me. When I was growing up, my mother was more of the a woman of faith. But the emphasis was on the building, the institution, the church, and it wasn't the relationship. And the reason for me, when I was going, it was about, you got to go to church, you got to go to church. And it wasn't so much about developing that relationship with Jesus. And I see that from my own background. I mean, I grew up going to church every Sunday, and then, you know, kind of in college and in medical school, kind of drifted away from that. And I didn't really come back to that idea until a lot later. And part of it was Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And the way he explained things to me made a lot more sense. And when I come back to, I always focus on that part of it. And it's interesting you said we don't come out of the womb. And it makes me think about when we, you know, when I was in medical school being taught how to deliver babies, you know, we were, you know, the first thing, so that they can start breathing, right? And so they make sure that everything's okay. The next thing that's pounded into our heads is place the child on the mother's chest. So the first thing we feel as we come out of the womb is pain. We're uncomfortable. And the second thing we feel is that relationship, the love and the nurturing. So when you get down to it, we're hardwired to give and receive real love. That's the whole idea. That's how God created us. So the thing that once I accepted that, and once I understood the value of the relationship, that's when things changed for me. And as far as, you know, my background and moving from the building more to the being, to the human being, Jesus. And that's where everything changed for me. And the one thing I also, you know, part of my background, and we see this consistently too, is the father wound. You know, we had, there's a lot of consistency with that. My father drank heavily, not a lot of affirmation, a little distance. You know, he became a man of faith much later in his life. But that was consistent. You know, that was my background too. I didn't have the love and the affirmation from the father, you know, as I was growing up. And so those two things I've noticed, I'm in the same boat, you know, moving from the building church institution to a relationship, and kind of that father background, you know, where the, you know, it was a tough upbringing, not as much affirmation. And it, I think that's important I have three children, and as far as affirmation, you know, if God can affirm Jesus in the New Testament twice, you know, this is my son who I'm very well pleased, you know, we need to be giving affirmation to our children, you know. So that's one of the things, you know, that was really brought home to me as, you know, growing up and stuff.
Well, John, let me ask you this then, because I love the way you put it, the way you phrased it, that my mom was the same way. She made us go to church, to the institution, and she made us go even if she didn't go herself. She made us go. And it was more about, like you said, the building rather than the being. And so we get the snapshot of your mom and your dad. But I want to know from you now in hindsight, because you can see a little bit more clearly looking backwards. How do you think both of those relationships with your mom and your dad affected you as a man?
I think that, and that's another thing is I talk about in my book where we have to recognize that humans are human. And so growing up, I was always told, you know, you're not going to be successful. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. And what it affects, I believe, and that's why I think it's so important to pay attention to what we tell our children, because those loops just keep going. Even after you, those loops are in the background constantly in your mind. If you hear all the time, you're not very smart, you're not good enough, you're never going to make it. Even after you reach a measure of success, it's still playing a role. And so those kind of that made me very cognizant of what I, you know, and aware of what I'm telling my own children. I got to be real, real careful, because we had, you know, the things that we say definitely have a major impact. And it's kind of like a loop, you know, it's in the subconscious mind, and it affects their self-esteem, their confidence. Talking about my mom and my dad, my mom, on the other hand, was very nurturing, loving, supportive. So I had that kind of dichotomy growing up. So there, it wasn't all, you know, negative. There was a lot of positive from my mom, a lot of love, a lot of nurturing, a lot of support. So that I think, you know, those two things, you know, are helpful, because you take what's good from your childhood and you try to avoid what's bad. So, I mean, that I think that helps, you know, when you're raising your children, you know.
And John, you know, I'm glad that you've been a long time listening to the show. So, you know, I'm not just being nosy, but I love digging into the heart and lives of men. And so, because obviously we are a men's show. And so your dad drinking and, you know, and not having an affirmation, what kind of limp did that give you going into manhood that now you can look back and say, wow, I didn't notice I had that limp as a result of not getting an affirmation from my dad?
That's a very good point there, because what happens is, and for me anyway, is when I got into medical school and I started going through that, in the background of my mind, I was like, I shouldn't be here. I'm not good enough to be here. But then your performance and what you do, the reality is, well, wait a minute, you're getting good grades. Hold on a second. Then you get affirmation from professors and from other students, and you're getting good grades. And you're like, wait a minute, you do have some talent. Maybe you're good at this, you know. And then you always have that that, you know, the confidence is not there until, and then once you act out and you're going through the training, and as I was going through the training, I was a natural because I was working in the hospital when I was in high school. I was my part-time job. I was working in an emergency room when I was a senior in high school. So when I got to medical school, I was already very comfortable. So I was in the hospital, very comfortable with working and everything. So I did well. And so, you know, once, I think it has to do with the confidence and the mindset you have. And I always had that in the back of my mind. But once I was successful, then I was able to, you know, move forward through that. But it was an obstacle because of those tape loops, the tape loops that are running in the back of your mind all the time.
Man, we're listening to my guest, Johnny Cavazos, who is the author of Brave the Way, Discover and Fully Realize Your Authentic Self. And we're going to jump into his book, and he's just giving us some backstory on his story. And you know what? When you say that, Johnny, it makes me think, and I'm just putting myself now on the counselor couch, is that I struggled with not having an affirmation too as well when I went off to college. And it wasn't until I made that 4.0, because I thought I wasn't smart enough either. Now, 4.0, my first semester in college, I started believing, well, maybe I am smart. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can succeed. And I thought everything was okay after that until I realized that now my value became attached to my performance. That I'm only this if I get straight A's, if I'm at the top of my class, if I graduate with honors, if I graduate early. These were goals I set for myself, which I achieved. And I thought I had it going on. Okay, man, this is what I'm doing. Not realizing that, you know, like you were saying about the building to the being, I was basing it on my performance, not who I was in Christ, which came later. And so a lot of times we as men, we can get sucked into that if we don't get that affirmation from the Father, then we start getting it from our achievements. And we start getting it for the accolades and the wars and the attaboys and that kind of stuff, not realizing that that has nothing to do with who you are in Christ. You want to speak to that?
Absolutely, because that's a great segue into what happened to me, because I started getting, performing well in my job as an emergency room physician. And then your identity start. My identity was being, you know, I was getting that positive affirmation just at work and all of those things. And then because of, you know, things that happened at work where that got disrupted, then what happened was the good Lord was turning it from my strength into a weakness. And so what was happening, and I think, and that's why I write about that in my book, is that I did a couple of things, and I remember brought somebody back. I can't remember the specifics of it, but it was, I called my wife and I was, you know, crowing and, oh, you know, look at, I did this and I did that and I did that. And then, well, God just showed me, oh, really? Who did that? And then that's what happened, is that all of that was just taken away. And I was like, for a period of time, it was, and the thing about medicine is that you never know, you know, somebody's going to walk in and then they go downhill and then they die. And you're like, oh, wow, what happened? And so you start developing this, look, I don't have very much control here. I'm just doing the best I can. I'm more of a screwdriver. You know, God's really pulling the levers, right? You know, the thing is that anything that I do now, I realize it has nothing to do with me, really. I'm just a tool. And so he's given me these gifts that I can use, but he's calling the shots. And so but really my strength and my identity and all that was tied up in my job. And, you know, that was taken away from me because I started having a couple of failures here and there. And then I started having my doubts. And then I started getting anxious and nervous. I'm like, what's going on? Well, maybe I'm not really that good. And at that exact time is when I started getting into the purpose-driven life and then reading about near-death experiences and all that. And that's when everything changed for me.
And so you kind of jumped to my next question I was going to ask you. Because I'm like, how do you go from being a physician in an emergency room to say, I'm going to write a book about finding and discovering your authentic self? And so was it that Rick Warren's book inspired you to do it? Or what was that kind of like that light that came on for you? Say, I got to do this.
That's an interesting, it was almost like when I read his book and I started understanding that we have a purpose, and I started doing things that were associated with medicine, but as far as serving. But I tried serving in a capacity like a free clinic, and that didn't do it. It wasn't right. You know, I could just, so I just stopped doing that. Then I started doing another kind of a ministry where I was trying to do something with weight loss, and that didn't work out for me. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to write a book about spirituality, but at the same time associated with, you know, physical fitness, because that's one of my areas of interest. So I thought, okay. And then I started writing, and then I was like, wait a minute, you know, let me just go ahead and go in this direction. Because before I knew it, in like a month, the book was written. It was like, it almost wrote itself. I mean, the way everything came out. And I had in the midst of it, probably like you with your podcasts, right in the midst of it, I was like, wait a minute, I'm really enjoying this. What's going on here? Why do I like this so much? And it was one of those, you don't have to set an alarm. You know, I get up at 3 a.m. to work on stuff, and you know, the passion was there, and the excitement and the enthusiasm and all that stuff just grew out of itself. And then before I knew it, I wrote 4 books. So I'm finished my second one. I'm finishing up, you know, should be sending to the editor within the next few weeks, but it just became a passion. And that,
Johnny, I'm hoping that the men or that man out there who's listening, I hope he caught something here that you said. At least it jumped up in my spirit, because think about it. You know, you've written now several books, but you're writing a book about finding your authentic self. You didn't wait to quote find your authentic self to write the book. You weren't I misunderstood what you just said. This was a discovery process while you were writing the book as well. Is that correct? So you didn't have it all together when you wrote the book. You were doing it.
No. And the thing is that when I was looking at the purpose-driven life, and at the same time, I was becoming fascinated with near-death experiences. And part of the authentic self was it's in everything. You know, actually, who came up with that idea? Jesus. What's the first thing? You know, the first step is denying the self. So what are you left with? The authenticity. But the authenticity is closer to, you have to deny the self, pick up the cross, and follow me. All 3 steps are required for real authenticity. So that's one of that's what Jesus is saying. But the thing that I want to emphasize is that there's no authenticity. There's no authentic self without Christ. It's impossible. There's no such thing. We were created in Christ Jesus. So it's impossible for us to get there without him.
And Johnny, so if, you know, I'm sure because you've written books and you see so many patients and that kind of thing, when someone asks you, what does it mean to be your authentic self? How do you define it? Because, you know, for some men out there, for a man out there listening, he may hear the word and it sounds kind of frou-frou to him.
He can't quite
get his mind around the meaning of it. So how do you, since you've written about it, you've read about it, you talk about it, how do you describe it to people so they get it, what it means to be your authentic self?
Well, I mean, and it's interesting because when I was writing the book, my wife was like, you know, Oprah's been talking about the authentic self for 20 years. So this really isn't really a new idea.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And when Oprah's, and I love Oprah, and she's got some great, you know, I love her Super Soul Sunday. I love that. But she talks about know yourself, transform your fear, express yourself, celebrate who you are, be bold. And when we think about authenticity, the reason it was so, especially with near-death experiences, because one of the books was talking about is when people have a near-death experience, what the being of light, which would be whichever, you know, God or whoever, is pointing out a false self. So that's that's almost exactly what happened to me. It's because and that line is the line in the Bible. Is yes, a person is a fool to store up treasures on earth, but not have a rich relationship with God. That was the verse that was the rock in the shoe. And so I realized I was that person. That's what Jesus is talking about, the false self. I was the person storing up treasures on earth, but not having a rich relationship with God. But when we're talking about men especially, self-sacrifice, denying the self, that's the first step of authenticity. And that's the hardest, I believe. And then the second part is we have to pick up our cross. Everybody has a cross. There's no one out there who doesn't. If we think about it, we got to be honest with ourselves, right? I mean, everybody's got a cross. But what's interesting is that you don't get to real authenticity. The authentic self is who God had in mind when he created you. His architectural plans are perfect, and they were thought about before he created the world. So the reason I'm focused on this is because you hear a lot of, a lot in sports talk, college coaches, we need our boys to be a better version of themselves and the best version of themselves. That's all subjective. I believe the authentic self is objective. It's God's idea. And when we as Christians, you put 100 Christians in a room and they get closer and closer to Christ, they become less and less like each other. They become more and more unique. That's because we're getting closer to what God had in mind. His view, his idea, his picture, his painting is perfect. So we're trying, and it's not, everybody's not to be exactly like Jesus, or else we're going to have 100 carpenters, right?
Right.
You know, we're all supposed to, and you just listen to your podcasts. Everybody's got all these different ministries from all these different backgrounds, but we're less and less like each other.
And Johnny, what I'm hearing from you, and you correct me if I'm wrong, that this authentic, quote, authentic self that we're in pursuit of, even as men, is not a goal, it's a pursuit.
Right.
It's something that we're growing into and we're never going to fully realize on this side of eternity.
Never.
Right.
Never. We won't get there until we stand before Jesus.
Right. Right.
And then we'll become like him. But we can't do it right here. And the problem is, and that's what I talk about when we talk about near-death experiences, because, you know, we have our physical selves are covering over the spiritual self. So that's why. It's hard for us to get, you know, while we're walking around in our physical body, we're hardwired for, you know, all the temptations that we have, you know, whatever, sex, food, whatever. So, you know, the whole goal is we're trying to get closer and closer to who we are spiritually. And that's where the value is, because I believe God didn't intend for us. He wants us living within the Spirit, within the power of the Spirit. That's where the action is.
You know, and I realize now with our ministry, what we're trying to, we're trying to help men become the authentic men, the men that God has called and created them to be and grow into that. But what I guess what our ministry is trying to do, with even the name implies, a Real Men Connect, that you cannot do that outside of community and relationships with
absolutely
men.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
And God, and Jesus is our role model. He was always around other people, and you cannot do it. And the same thing with when Rick Warren talks about that in The Purpose-Driven Life. You can, anything you're doing on purpose is, you need other people. There's no question about it. You can't do it by yourself.
Yeah. What's amazing to me, you know, being in ministry now, is that I'm surprised at how many, you know, that men have a knowledge of this. We have a knowledge of this. But yet still see so many men still walk alone and still, quote, try to be lone rangers. And what I realized when I talked to him about it, whether I interview him on the show, because I'm always curious about, if we know we can't do it alone, why do we choose to do it alone? And the answer I get is that, well, I don't want to do it alone, but I can't find somebody I could trust to do it with, which I think is an excuse, because that means you ain't looking hard enough. But that tends to be the pushback that we get, that I don't have the right brothers. I don't have men I can trust. I've been betrayed in the past. I've been hurt in the past. So as they do it in community to find, to build and grow into their authentic self, what do you say to that man who's been wounded by a lot of people who he's tried to do life together with?
The thing is, you're going to have to, and that it took, when I write about that in the book, it took me a year to join a men's group Bible study. We're meant to do life together. There's no question about it. We're built that way. And God intends for us, you know, why would there be each other 59 times in the New Testament, or how many
right.
times? I mean, there's 59. How many times does he need to get the point across? You know, that's we're here for that.
Now, you mentioned earlier, because could you answer one of the questions I was going to ask you before about how does a man go about discovering and realizing his authentic self? And you quoted scripture about denying yourself, picking up your cross, and following me. Now, you know me, we keep things super practical on Real Men Connect. And I'm always trying to, I just assume we're all suffering from that male learning disability called ABT, ain't been taught. And so I'm going to break down your steps, and I want you to, and I'm going to push you on this, Johnny, because I know you'll be able to deliver on this. Let's start with that deny yourself. What does that look like?
As far as when you're talking about denying yourself, especially because if we think about it right now, what are the battlegrounds? And we're in a war. You and I both know this. We're in a war right now. The battleground is in the family. The family is one of the, and social media is a big battleground area, and pornography is a huge battleground area. And that say the enemy's attacking those areas. So what we tend to get caught up in is as men, and we talk about, you know, doing life together and stuff, but I think what happens is, especially as providers and taking care of our families and all that, we get caught up in survival, and the rest of our time is on distraction. So either survival or distraction. And if you look at men's attitudes and their approach, the majority of their time are tied up in those two, you know, avenues. But when you're talking about denying the self, you're going to have to put your family first. You have to put the marriage first. You have to put your children first, and you're going to have to put you second. And that's I didn't get married till I was 34 years old, and I still probably wasn't mature enough. You know, that kind of putting, you know, when you have a child and you have a wife and you have to take care of everybody, you have to put them first. And that's part of it. But we still have that, oh, I want to go do this, or I want to spend time, you know, with going out with my friends or going off and playing golf or something like that. But I think part of it is self-sacrifice. And you've talked about that a lot. And the self-sacrifice is a big part of it, you know.
Johnny, I love, and now I'm glad I did ask you that question, because I think that's something they can get their minds around, at least for me. You know, because, you know, we can quote the scripture backwards and forwards. We can memorize it and all the stuff. But do we actually walk out what we hear and what we read? And when talking about denying yourself, you know what? When you said that, you know what I wrote down in my notes? I like taking notes when I'm talking to the guests, is what I said. Johnny just said, denying yourself is living by prioritizing what's most important. Self-sacrificing for what's most important. It's about getting your priorities straight. And, you know, in our community with our men, I call it God's divine order. And I said, I'll debate anybody on this, because I'm just looking at based on just reading scripture, that God's divine order is Christ first, covenant second, which is our wives. Then the children he's asked us to disciple. Then the community, the each other you kept talking about, the each other's. And then our calling and our jobs. And the pushback I get is that, Joe, you believe that God wants our job and our calling to be in fifth place or fourth place? I said, yeah, I got to believe that. Because if you're pursuing him and pursuing his heart, you're loving your wife the right way. And if you're loving your wife the right way, your children are noticing. And your children are being discipled and disciplined in the admonition of the Lord. And if you are loving your wife the right way, raising and disciplining your children the right way, guess what? Your community sees it, and they want to draw close to you, because they want, your life demands an explanation. And if your life demands an explanation, guess what? You look around, guess what you're doing? You're being a blessing on your job, in your church, or in your ministry, because you're living, like you said, the authentic self. Because who knows us better, Johnny, than our wives and our children?
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is that when you're putting your marriage at first in the center of the family, and the battleground is the family. What are the kids doing? They're getting involved, and now we understand. That's the thing, is that the enemy attacks the family, and especially through pornography. And what we're noticing, and the two things that are really bothersome to me, and that's why I have to. It's the suicide rate, and I noticed that 10 years ago, as far as it's doubled amongst young people, and the thing about the suicide rate is it's accelerating, you know. And I remember reading or watching a documentary, and this guy was talking about spiritual warfare, and he talked about how demons, what they're trying to do is convince you to kill yourself, And when children start thinking about suicide at 10, 11, or 12, I mean, the main things are they're helpless, hopeless, and worthless. Those are the three main things. So in the battleground of the family, we need to instill into our children that they have value, they're not helpless, and they're not worthless. They have power, and they have value and worth. And that's why one of the things that we need to focus on is purpose. Purpose is actually protective. Purpose protects. We look at studies and social media and stuff like that. We know that people or young people, they're not affected if they're being bullied on social media, if they have a sense of value and purpose. So passion and purpose is not only something that God wants us to do, it protects us from criticism and, you know, arrows that people are throwing at us.
Johnny, I got to tell you, that just blessed my heart. I've read Rick Warren's book. I speak about purpose when I travel across the country, when I work with kids. I mean, that's one of my favorite topics that I'm passionate about. That's why I was excited about having you on the show, because I know this area, this topic, because I just love it. But I've never, out of all the books I've read, I've never heard anybody say what you said, purpose protects. And when you really think about it, it does, because you're right. Being a former educator, watching these kids talking about the suicides, I had to go through that stuff with our children in our school system and training teachers all over the country. And you're absolutely right. Their purpose protects them. It doesn't prevent pain, but it protects them from the enemy destroying their destiny, their purpose for living. And I never connected that, but I'm going to liberate that, and I'm going to use that a lot from now on.
Absolutely. Well, God bless you.
that was worth the whole show, just hearing that, putting that phrase together. Purpose protects. And when you see the enemy attacking, because somewhere along the line, somebody has lost sight of their purpose, Now, so you've helped us unpack to deny yourself. So let's talk about the pick up your cross. We hear that all the time. What does that look like? What does picking up your cross really look like? And how does that relate to being our authentic self?
You see, that's an interesting idea, because one thing I hear in the podcast, and there's, by the way, you know, if anybody's go back, there's so much treasure and gold in all these podcasts. You need to go back and dig, because there's a lot down there. There's a lot of value there. So but when we talk about, I hear people when they talk about burdening my heart. And when it comes to passion, though, I don't necessarily look at it as a burden, but there's things in our lives, right, like that are we have to deal with that we're not actually, you know, just in relationships. You could have a problem with your marriage, or you could probably have a problem at work, or, you know, there's certain aspects of my work that I'm not very excited about, but that's one of my crosses that I have to deal with. Because I'm there for people to take care of them, but there's aspects of the job that I have that are not a good time. You know, working night shifts, for example. I don't like. You know, I'm doing this a long time. I'm still working night shifts. That's tough on me, but it's one of my crosses. You know, and he doesn't want to hear whining or excuses. You know, it's just that's, you know, this is your job. This is what I want you to do. You need to do it. You know, and so that's just one aspect that I can think of. But, you know, not everything is going to be, you know, like I like to write and, you know, but the chances of me being able to be a writer are slim. You know, I'm going to have to, you know, I have to support my family. So when it comes to, you know, the burden of the cross, there are things that are, you know, difficult that we have to deal with, you know, just to survive and get through our lives. You know, so it's, for me, myself, it's just more job stuff that I have to deal with, you know, or, you know, problems, you know, maybe a child that is not acting the right way or something like that. But we have crosses in our relationships, you know, in our jobs, in our friendships, in our families, and, you know, difficult people, you know, they're all over the place.
And Johnny, you did another good job. And I'm glad that we're looking at these different aspects, because I try to make sure that things are not super spiritual, but super simple. I've never had a man in all the ministry that I always get nervous sometimes that when I teach or I try to share stuff with men, that they're like, Joe, why are you speaking to me like I don't have any common sense? How come you're dumbing it down? I've never had a man yet tell me, Joe, you're making it too simple.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And the practicality is important. You know, it's important, definitely.
And so what I'm hearing from you and putting this in terms that we can relate to when it comes to picking up our cross, what I'm hearing from you is that it's about accepting responsibility, not making excuses. You know, our past may explain this, but it doesn't excuse us from the responsibility that God has given us. And I think what I'll add to that is something I remember quoting Maya Angelou. She says that if you see something that you can't change, then change your attitude about it.
Absolutely.
And so to me, that is picking up your cross. And based on what in the context of what you're saying is that we can't control what happens to us and what we've been given a lot of times. We didn't pick the families we were born into, you know, but what we can do is choose how we're going to respond to it and the responsibility we're going to accept for the part we play in it. And so I think that is great. That is great. Now, so let's get to this last one, which we all hope that we're on this path of following Jesus. When Jesus says, come follow me, in us pursuing our authentic self, which we know, like we said, it's a process, it's a pursuit, it's not a goal that you can achieve. What does following him, how does that relate to this pursuit of our authentic self?
It's interesting. I've heard it in some of your podcasts when we talk about developing skills and developing habits. I think that is a big, big part of it, is developing the skills of, you know, a quiet time. Those are the biggest, from my own perspective, the biggest changes in my life happened because of the time set aside every morning. There's nothing more important than spending time with God. And I said my Bible study and my Bible study and my reading and my topics that I go over and my prayer, the skills of and developing those habits are what I believe is part of following. Because once you sit down and you spend time and you start being able to hear and discern the voice of the Holy Spirit, that there's the guidance. There's the path is being shown. The light is being shown which way to go. That's the thing. Like you, I bet you're not bored very often, are you?
You know, it's funny you say, Johnny. It's funny you say that. I make jokes about this. That I said, now I'm 51 years old, and I said I don't believe in my entire life, and this is not hyperbole, I don't think I've ever said the phrase I'm bored.
Right. Ever. And that's, see, when you're following Jesus and you're involved with authenticity, there's no boredom. There's always something to do, some task. And if you're spending time with him in the morning and you're all you're doing is listening and writing down, I always recommend spiritual journaling. You know, I didn't start that until about 4 or 5 years ago. But spiritual journaling, I mean, he's going to guide you. He's going to impress upon your heart which way he wants you to go. So if you start out with that guidance and that light, the path is just going to start opening up. And then there you go. You're just following the path that he's outlining for you. And so he led me down this path of, I've never been wanting to write books. Never. And then I started doing it. I'm like, wait a minute. I kind of enjoy this. What's going on here? You know, this is kind of cool. You know, I like the idea of coming up with new ideas. You know, that's what writing is, really.
Guys, we're talking to my guest, Johnny Cavazos, who's the author of Brave the Way, Discover and Fully Realize Your Authentic Self. And Johnny, you won't believe, man, the time is just flying by. And I want to get to the man up questions, our infamous man up questions. You know, being a listener to our show, you know, I couldn't let you off the air without taking you through the man up questions.
And sure.
So we're going to jump to that. But I want to close out this segment before we go to that, because I want to go back to something you said. And I apologize to my listeners because it was too important. You said something that was great, but it was too important for me not to stop and pause there. And the Spirit just telling me this is what we're going to end this segment on before we go to the man up questions. You mentioned about the suicide rate and how it's going up, just multiplying. It's speeding up. And I've read the statistics. I've seen it across the country myself. And you mentioned about the feelings of helplessness, hopelessness, and feeling worthless. Now, I'm bringing it up because I feel bad because I didn't stop there and ask you to speak more towards it, because I think we can miss it. The reason why we're struggling finding our authentic self, remember I told you we're ABT, we haven't been taught. We haven't been taught how to do it. And we weren't trained how to do it. So I want you to speak to the fathers how can they help and prepare our children to discover their authentic self so they're not becoming another statistic, that they have a life of purpose, and that they have something that they can pursue, that they're going to grow in their relationship with Christ? What would you tell fathers to help us combat this helplessness, hopelessness, and worthlessness that's in our young people?
That's a great question, Dr. Joe. I really appreciate that, because that's one of our jobs as parents. You know, what we want to do, and I think that's what, if we're looking at the statistics and we're looking at social media, what we're seeing is that there's less focus on flesh and blood relationships. So one thing we can do with our children is encourage friendships, encourage them to spend time with each other, spend real time with each other, not texting and all of that other kind of stuff, and focus on that flesh and blood relationships with other people. And then at the same time, we want them to see us. Like, when my son gets up early at 5 a.m, he sees me with my nose in the Bible and my laptop up, and they see that there's value in spending time in the Word. And then the other thing is making sure that they understand in the marriage, there's love between, you know, the husband and wife, that they're the center of the family, and there's strength and there's love, and they understand that they have value and they have worth and that they are loved. So the thing about that, I wish that more of that would happen with my, the opportunity for us to discuss Jesus comes up every day, because circumstances come up every day. So when they're going to go through troubles, I always tell them, when they have a trouble, I say, sit down, spend some time in the Word, spiritual journals, ask Jesus to show you the way or show you where to go. If they're in something like a triumph or a victory, or they get some kind of award, go and thank Jesus. Spend some time in the Word, spiritual journal, write down the date and the time so you'll remember that. And I think the key is, especially with children, is that flesh and blood relationship, and then let them understand that they have value and they have worth, and they're not helpless. They're not hopeless. There's supernatural power available to them through the love of Christ. And developing that relationship, that flesh and blood relationship and closeness, that's what will power them through anything.
Wow. Johnny, I'm so glad that I asked you that question, man, because what a great way to close out this segment, because it's about us passing that mantle on to them and learn from our mistakes and prevent them from making some of those same mistakes. And what you're saying is so valuable, and I'm glad that this will be the last thing that they remember that you said in this segment, because it's going to be about them, because like you're saying, it's going to, you know, social media, all this other stuff, and we have to be a louder voice in their lives based on how we live, because there's a lot of distractions out there. So, man, so thank you for closing out this segment with that. But, Johnny, it's time, man, for our infamous man up questions. And when you know, there are 5 quick questions starting with letters MANUP, and all they require is your boldness, honesty, and authenticity, which you should have a problem with whatsoever. So the question is, Johnny, are you ready, man? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. And, guys, we'll be right back with my guest, Johnny Cavazos, as he tackles the man of questions after this short break.
Let's face it, life is hard. You know what I mean. You want to win at work, but you're struggling to survive at home. You want to make your wife happy, but you have your own personal demons you have to battle with every single day. Trying to provide for your family financially, and at the same time, not knowing exactly how to protect and lead them spiritually. But do you know the only thing that's harder than trying to succeed as a man? It's when you're trying to do it alone. That's why at Real Men Connect, we're offering to do life with you. We have a unique and private program called the Real Men 300 that's designed to help you win at what matters most to you. Like having a personal relationship with God, having a stronger marriage, leading your family well, winning and living your God-given purpose at work, and leaving a legacy that will matter in eternity. In the Real Men 300, we promise you 3 things. 1, you will never have to do life alone again. 2, you won't ever get left behind, no matter how much you're struggling. And 3, not only will you learn how to win as a man, you'll learn how to lead other men to victory as well. Guaranteed. However, you can't just join the Real Men 300. You have to apply, because we screen every man, and space is limited in this private and exclusive brotherhood. So to find out more and to see if you qualify, just go to realmen300.com. Because life's not easy, but it can get better when you choose to do it together with men you can trust, who won't judge you, but will hold you accountable and encourage you as a man. So apply today at realmen300.com. That's realmen300.com.
Welcome back, Mighty Warriors, with my guest, Johnny Cavazos, who's the author of Brave the Way, Discover and Fully Realize Your Authentic Self. And he's ready to take on the man of questions. Johnny, I'm going to pertain these questions to your discovery of your authenticity and growing as a man of God. But then we're going to look at the ministry aspect of it as well. But let's start with the M. So what was the biggest mistake that you learned the most from in pursuing your authentic self as a man?
I would have to say the isolation. As a man, a family man, isolating yourself, separating yourself from the family, that was one of my biggest mistakes. And I spent a lot of time alone, and that I wish I could change. And it reminds me of the movie The Godfather, classic movie. Don Corleone, he tells Johnny Fontaine, a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never really be a real man. And so, I mean, that for me, you spend time with your family, don't isolate yourself. And that's really your main role, you know, is to spend time with the family. And I wish I could change, some of that time that I just blew, you know, doing things just on my own, but I'm kind of a loner type.
And John, I think a lot of men can relate to that because it took me a while to grasp that about how, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. He wasn't by himself, you know,
right?
Even
exactly.
Though that's the picture that we paint. But I'm sure a lot of men can relate to that. But you said about you wish you can go back and change it. So let's go into the A with the attitude. You've run into enough people with the success of your book. You're talking to patients and everything. Let's focus on the man. If there was an attitude in men that you could change, what would it be?
I would have to say the attitude of entitlement. I think that one is the most, because immediately you move from entitlement to pride, and learning more and more about pride. Pride is an invention of the enemy. I mean, there's no question about it. The two most dangerous words that we have in our vocabulary are "I deserve."
Yeah.
and we honestly, if we look at it from our perspective and we value Jesus, we don't deserve anything. And there's nothing we can do to pay him back for what he's done for us. So I'd say scratch entitlement and move to gratitude. And that if you can just focus on gratitude every day that you wake up, it's easy to whine. I was telling my wife just the other day, I was like, I'm over here whining. I got a roof over my head and I got a job, you know, so I can take care of my family and there's no reason for me to be whining. I should be just grateful that he's given me the grace to even allow me to, you know, write a book or do whatever. You know, so the entitlement is just it's a bad attitude for anyone. There's no value in it at all.
You know, Johnny, it's great that you mentioned that because, you know, obviously we've done these over 400 shows. I don't think I've ever heard that answer. But yet I agree with it 100%.
Yeah.
100%. That's interesting that you're the first to bring that up. But because we use that word entitlement, we attach it to young people. That's their problem. You know what's wrong with the young people today? They feel they're entitled to everything. It's our problem too.
Absolutely. And you see that even in the elderly. You've heard of 70-year-old infants. They're still 70-year-old infants walking
right.
around. I mean, it's amazing.
That's right. All right. Now, I got to ask you this one. This next one is the N stands for next. And you're still a full-time practicing physician. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you're
yes.
still doing all, and you're writing these books now. I want to know then, what's the next big thing you would attempt to do for God if you couldn't fail? Because it's not like you got a lot of time on your hands. So what
yeah,
would you do?
The thing is that I feel like, especially when it comes to passion, the one passion that I've had since I was young is music. You know, I'm a musician and I played in a band and I'd really would like to do something in music, but I want to finish this series, the Authentic Self series. It's going to be 4 books. I want to finish that, and then I would like to do something on the side in some way. In music, maybe even Christian music or something like that. That's kind of like a pipe dream for me.
All right, that's interesting, man. That's good to hear. Now let's go to the you, and you represents understand. Now that you're in this pursuit of your authentic self, and you've gotten a lot wiser in your pursuit of it, when you were younger, what was the one thing you didn't understand about being an authentic man that you understand better now?
Well, this one is—it's valuable, but it's kind of a tough one. But looking at all the stuff that I've studied and read and everything is—we need to understand that as far as the Christian theology, a big part of it. Remember, Christ learned obedience through suffering. You know, Christ was made perfect through suffering, and so the difficult part is the willingness to embrace the idea and just accept it as part of Christian theology. I mean, it's just part of our lives. And we just have to remember it's only our light and momentary troubles. You know, that's we just have to remember. But a lot of times when we're going through it, you know, we want to be comfortable. And it doesn't become easy until we understand, okay, this is just part of it. We're going to have to go through it. But I have a hard time embracing it. And a lot of it is because, you know, God, I've been doing this for this long. I still have to go through these things, you know, but that's just the way it is. You know, that's part of suffering is a part of it.
And what a great lesson to learn, too. This one of the authors I read, his name is Larry Crabb, wrote a book called The 66 Love Letters. And where he's having this conversation with God, and God is speaking back to him. And God says, you know what, the problem with my people, and he's talking about us, his children. He says that if you were given a choice of sin or suffer, he said, most of my children would choose sin. He said, and that reveals the condition and the wickedness of our heart. So suffering is part of life, and God expects us to choose suffering over sin. And so you bring up a great point. So we'll close you out with this and let you off the hook. Okay, Johnny, and the last one is the letter P, and P stands for problem. As a mighty man of God, which you are, what's the one problem in your life that you still struggle with in trying to be an authentic man, even today?
It have to be pride. Pride. I mean, pride is and the thing is, as you learn more and more, and you start, and I mean, and that's why I use near death experiences. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about these surpassingly great revelations because he's talking about in order for him not to get conceited, he was given a thorn. So when we get revelation sometimes, and I tend to get into that, you know, that problem of pride and I know better and that kind of thing. But humility is being the most Christ-like. You know, Christ, if we want to be like him, we got to start with humility. And it's a struggle every day to be humble every day. The sooner that we incorporate that into our lifestyle, the better off we're going to be.
You know, and I will second that too, because I would affirm that, because that's a daily struggle and it's a daily prayer. When I get in my quiet time, as God, and that's, I mean, I'm confessing that every day, God, forgive me for my pride, even the pride I don't even recognize. I say, God, I know I was somewhere today, so forgive me for it.
Because
every man should be able to relate to that. Man, thank you so much, Johnny, for sharing that. Man, thank you for being so authentic and transparent and answering those questions. I really appreciate it, man.
Oh, sure. Well, thanks for having me on, Dr. Joe. I really appreciate it. I just want to make a plug, though. And all the listeners, go back and listen to some. There's so much value in a lot of these podcasts. There's just I'm listening to them every day. I mean, they're really, really good.
And, Johnny, you can expect that check in about 2 weeks. Okay? Give it 2 weeks and don't cash it too fast. Let it get about a few days to clear on top of it. But, no, man, I really thank you so much, man. I really appreciate that. And it's great hearing that from guests on our show who recommend our show and endorse it. That it just does my heart good, man. But I want you quickly for our listeners, how can they find out more about you, your book that we've been talking about, your ministry, and what you're working on? What can they do to best connect with you?
My website is bravethewave.org, and there's actually a sign-up PDF. It's actually a medical PDF that you can download that's It's the top head-to-toe symptoms that you that should prompt you to go to the emergency room. So it's actually I thought that's something I could, something of value, because a lot of people are like, do I need to come in? They call up and do I need to come in? I have this and do I need to come in? And so I'm like, that's something at least I can add after 30 years of expertise. I can, you know, so I wanted to give something away for that. So, you know,
thank you so much. I'm going to get it. I don't know if you're going to get it, but I'm going to go get it. I just had my physical yesterday, but that is awesome. So, and guys, what we're going to do and what we do, John, we'll put that in the show notes so they'll have access to it. That is bravetheway.org. And so you have a way to go to his website to get that freemium he's giving you, that download, that PDF. And also you have a way to be able to reach out to him if you have any questions. And guys, if you like today's show, please do us a favor. And this is so important. Take about 30 seconds to go over to iTunes and rate the program for us, because it's the best way to help us get this program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. You've heard Johnny talk about the show and how much he enjoys it. And I did not pay him to say that. No, because guys, you are finding value. So please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with RealMenConnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man that God has called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible, terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in God's grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out RealMenConnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's RealMenConnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.